And now that I've ruined the service, let me see if I can pick it back up. Y'all did beautifully. Thank you for the music. Folks, we're in the day that we just can't do church. We got to have church.
Birthdays.
Anniversaries. And anniversaries. Please tell us. We want to know. Bye, y'all. God bless you and save you at an early age and keep you pure till Jesus comes. Amen. I believe that. Glory to God. Well, like I said this morning, you say, where's Debbie Sue? Well, you remember my wife. You remember. Well, anyhow, she said, if I can't preach the Sunday morning service, I ain't going, so that's why she's not here. No, I'm just kidding. She had, and I said in Sunday school, but for you that might have not been here, she had a foot of her colon taken out. I guess best thing I can say about my precious wife, she's got guts, I'm telling you. But she had a foot taken out Monday, and she had full intentions of being here with us today. And she just couldn't come. She was as wide as these windows and doors. I just couldn't come. And she is so upset because she loves y'all so much. So hold her up in prayer. She had diverticulitis. It was in a very infected part, so they had to remove that Monday. And so she's in bed with running temperature and not doing too good. So we've got to get back as soon as the service is over today. And I thank you for your understanding for that. But I am so glad to have my son Christopher in the service today. He's my bodyguard. He's a deputy sheriff. He's more on the side of Andy Griffith. No, he's not either. He's pretty tough. Sheriff Taylor, you know, he's kind of. But I'm so happy to have him with me today, and I'm proud of him. I really am. He's been a sharp guy all of his life. And y'all pray for him. We need to pray for law enforcement like never before. Like never before. He's in a part of, what'd you say, Inslee and Fairfield. If y'all know anything about that area, it's very. He had an arrest yesterday. He was telling me about it driving down, so hold him up in prayer that God will keep him safe. And all of our law enforcement and all the people and school teachers and everybody else has got to deal with all this. So without a doubt, please just hold him up in prayer. But I did want to tell you, I had my COVID-19 vaccine this week. I did have that, and people said, what's the side effect? Well, the only side effect I had is just a strong desire for Bluebell ice cream. And man, it's just really pretty bad. So that's about the only thing that the after effect was the Bluebell ice cream desire. But other than that, I was doing fine. But I did get that. And the reason why is, like I said in Sunday school, I have a job at UAB Hospital, and they gave us the option if we wanted to get it or not. I said, well, I'll try it, and so I could let the family know. So just a warning, when you do get the shot, better have some Bluebell at the house. You better have it. Well, I was having that craving before I had the shot. But honestly, in all serious, my flu shot was worse than that. So has anybody else had the shot? Anybody else in here? I'm the only one. Well, I'm not going to give it to anybody because I'm good. But so anyhow, I did have it. So I don't know. I'm like you. I've people concerned about it, but I said, hey, I'm ready anyway. But you know, if it's time for me to go, the Lord knows. But I just want to let you know I did have it. It didn't hurt real bad. But let's just pray for our country and this virus that's everywhere. Pray for them. But and I'll be honest with you, every time Debbie Sue and I are traveling, we're seeing little cemeteries everywhere, every little church. And I love little cemeteries and thinking about a country church with a cemetery. And I love that myself. And it reminded me of a story I heard about. A man was sitting by his wife at her mother's funeral. The body was there. The songs were being sung. And it was a beautiful service. And while he was sitting there by his wife, his mother-in-law's funeral, he began to cry. And she looked at him during the service as he began to cry. And she looked at him right in the middle of the service and says, "You did love my mother." He said, "No, I thought I saw her move." So would you take your Bible and turn to the book of Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. And God bless all these prayer requests today, surgery in the hand and all the different things, people fallen and sick and so many things. But let's just have a good time in the Word today. Joshua chapter 3. I want to speak on this subject, journey into the unknown. How perfect for a new year. Journey into the unknown. Joshua chapter 3 verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. Verse 2, Joshua 3. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. And there shall be a space between you and it, about 4,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. Now this is what I want you to underline. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. That's where we're going with the message today. Ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. Today's message title, Journey into the Unknown. Father, what a sweet Sunday school service we had. But we need your breath again. I need your breath again. I need your touch again. And Lord, there's too many precious people in here, young and old alike, and everybody in between. We need a touch from heaven. And this needs to be your message. And I sure, Lord, know that this is what you gave me for this Sunday morning. So please, please plant it in the hearts of everybody in this room. I'm not asking you to plant it into two or three hearts. I want everybody under the sound of your voice to hear what's going to be said today, and they walk out of this room different than the way they came in. And I ask you, Lord, to begin that work in me. Lord, once again, we hold these prayer requests up to you. It's already been said, we pray for our country. And Lord, we think about all the different people that are fighting this COVID-19 and all the other things that are going on, and then rejoicing with glorious tears of salvation. God, you are so good. And I pray, Father, now help me. Help me. I'm as nervous as if this is the first time I've ever preached. Because, Lord, I just can't do it without you. I can't. So help me now to preach to the level that all of us will be touched and changed. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Joshua gave a message to the people, to the children of Israel. He says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant pass in front of you, you're in your tent, and you see it pass in front of you, he says, immediately I want you to get behind it, about 3,000 feet. Don't get real near it, but about 3,000 feet away from it, get behind it, follow it. Set yourself apart to follow that Ark. And now every one of you know this already because you've been in Sunday school long enough, that Ark of the Covenant is a picture of the presence of God. So in other words, he's saying, when you see that ark pass, I mean right then, don't wait around. Get right behind it. Start following God. Start following the Lord. Immediately start following the Lord. He went on to explain, because you got to be special, because God is going to do something special for us, because we are taking a journey that we have never taken before. Is that not what he said? 2020. We would have never thought of the kind of journey that we just came out of. Amen. You think about December, the last day, 2019, we would have never dreamed of what we had faced in 2020. It has been said that 2020 was the worst year that we have ever had. Then I've heard other people argue that's not true. 1952 was the worst year that we ever had, when polio ruled and reigned, and mostly children were the ones that died. Then other people said, no, the worst year was 1941, the bombing of Pearl Harbor on December the 7th. That was the worst year we ever had. Then somebody says, oh, no, it's not that at all. From 1929 to 1941, during the Great Depression, that was the worst time we ever had. And somebody else would say, no, How about 2001, when the terrorists attacked on 9/11? That was the worst year we ever had. And I've heard these arguments, people talking about this, and they say, no, I disagree. In 1793, when yellow fever hit. In 1633, when there was smallpox, and then cholera between 1822 and 1866, and scarlet fever in 1858, and typhoid Mary in 1906. Those were the worst years. You just think 2020 was bad. I can remember a year was worse than that. Every one of us have our story of what year was the worst. But there's one conclusion we all can draw. We don't ever know what the next year is going to bring. We are going into a journey into the unknown. I'm glad. I'm glad we don't know the future. We'd go crazy if we knew what 2021 was going to have. I told somebody this week, my mom's had a couple of surgeries. I had to have a root canal this week. Debbie's had her surgeries. I said, it seems like 2021 is as rough as 2020. I said, it's just the same old thing, just different numbers this time. So I'm glad we don't know the future. I'm glad we don't know what 2021 is going to be, because, you know, we don't know. We are making a journey into the unknown. Can I say this too? I'm glad I don't know the day we're going to die. Could you just pretend with me? You know, I love to pretend. I got that little boy in me. I like to pretend. What if you knew the day you were going to die? You'd go crazy. Man, I'm going to die January the 9th, 2023. You'd be counting the days like, wouldn't you? You'd be a basket case. I'm glad we don't know the future. But I can assure you of one thing. We're all headed into it one way or another, good or bad. There is a future. Here's the question I want to pose to you today and give you the answer. How do we journey into the unknown? We have no idea what 2021 is going to be. How do we journey to the unknown? I'd write this down if I were you. Number one, follow the Lord. Joshua said, when you see that ark, which is the presence of God, go before you, get behind it, and follow it. Follow the Lord. Basically, it's just simply saying this, Lord, I give myself to you. How do we face 2021? Lord, I give myself to you. And you know how to do that. Not a person in this room needs a study course on how to give yourself to something. You don't need to say, well, Brother Keith, that sounds so great. Please teach me how to give myself to the Lord. You already know how to do that. You know how to give yourself to your family. You know how to give yourself to your sports team. Lord, help us tomorrow night. You know how to give yourself to a job. You got up in the morning, but you still go to work because you know how to give yourself to that job. You know how to give yourself to your political persuasion. And without a doubt, there's a bunch of us in here that knows how to give ourselves to our appetite when it comes to eating a hamburger steak or whatever. So you already know how to give yourself to something. It's just time for us to channel that giving stuff to the Lord, just like we do it to our football team. So we use this as the cop-out. I just need somebody to instruct me how to give myself to the Lord. You already know how to do it. Just put Jesus there instead of the Crimson Tide. Amen. Or that other team. You know the other team. UAB. But anyhow, and I'm just picking on y'all, just playing. Don't walk out of the church on me. But you already know how to do that. You know what to do. You just got to say, Lord, I'm going to let you be the pilot of 21. When I was a kid, there used to be a car tag that everybody had on their car. God is my co-pilot. Ladies and gentlemen, if he's your co-pilot, you're going to crash. He needs to be your pilot, not your co-pilot. Christopher will remember, we had a man in our church who's dead now. His name was Red Travis, and he flew a little small plane. And I remember the very first time he said, preacher, let's go up in the airplane. And I said, sure. So we went out there and we did that spot check. Some of y'all know about airplanes probably. He went and checked the fuel, make sure there was no water in it, and he had his checklist in the plane. After we did all that, it took too long to me, but, you know, I guess when you're up there, pretty good to make sure it's running all right, you know. So we got in the plane. He got over there. I got over here, and we strapped in that little Piper Cub. And Red looked at me, and he said, now listen, keep your hands off the stick and keep your feet off the pedal. He said, because I'm the pilot. I'm his pastor being talked to that way. And he said, I'm the pilot. And you know what? I'm telling you how to face a journey. They'll know, follow the Lord and realize he's the pilot. Amen. But you know what happens? We'll say in this service this morning, yep, the Lord's a pilot. Amen. But when things start happening in our life, we take the stick. Amen. And we start doing the pedals. And he's got to be pilot all the time, not just when we want him to be the pilot. Amen. So here's how you follow him. Go with him, follow him. But here's the thing. We'll testify, we'll let him be the pilot, but there's somebody in this room that when circumstances come, you get all nervous. I just can't handle this. I just can't handle this. And you think you're going to put it on automatic pilot. This is just too much for me to handle, Lord. I just can't handle it. And you put it on automatic, and you think that's going to work. No, that's not going to work. You've got to let him be.